Hello, this is your volunteer broadcaster, Cecilia, bringing you this week's Bedtime Stories program on Sun Sounds of Arizona. In today's program, we will read Where the Wild Things Are, Alma and How She Got Her Name, Fight the Night, You Matter, and some of Frog and Toad All Year. Let's get started with Where the Wild Things Are, Story and Pictures by Maurice Sendak. The night Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind and another, his mother called him Wild Thing, and Max said, "I'll eat you up." So he was sent to bed without eating anything. So far, we've seen Max in his bedroom, and he has his wolf suit on, and he has strung a clothesline made of sheets tied together, and he's nailing the sheet into the wall with a big nail and a big hammer. And on the rope, the clothesline, he is hanging a blanket, and then there's a hanger with a bear hanging off of it. And then he's running down the stairs in his wolf outfit, and he's got a fork in his hand, and he's chasing after the dog. And then he's in his bedroom, and he looks mad. He's got his hand on his hip after his mother sent him to bed without eating anything. That very night in Max's room, a forest grew. And here we see Max in his room, and there are some trees starting to grow and grow. And there he is in his room, and the trees are getting bigger, and he's quite happy. He's smiling. He's got his hand up to his mouth. And grew until his ceiling hung with vines and walls, and the walls became the world all around. And now there's no sign of his room. He's just in a forest of trees, and the big moon is in the distance. And an ocean tumbled by with a private boat for Max, and he sailed off through night and day, and in and out of weeks and almost over a year to where the wild things are. And there's Max in his sailboat. His name's on the side of the boat. And he's looking kind of scared because there is a dragon-like creature in the water looking at him. And when he came to the place where the wild things are, they roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and roared their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws. Till Max said, "Be still," and tamed them with the magic trick of staring into all their yellow eyes without blinking once, and they were frightened and called him the most wild thing of all and made him king of all the wild things. So here Max has sailed up to the island, and there's big monsters like a lion-type creature and some other monsters scaring him. And then he does his magic trick, and they all sit down, and they're looking kind of frightened of him. And then they make him king of all wild things, and now he has a crown on his head. "And now," cried Max, "let the wild rumpus start." And then over the next pages, the first one, you see the wild things, the monsters, are all dancing, and Max has got his crown on, and he's dancing, and they're all looking at the moon, having a good time. And then the next pages, they're swinging from trees, and Max is swinging from a tree, and all the monsters are swinging from a tree, and they're having a good time. And now they're in the forest, and he's riding on the back of one of the monsters. He's got Max has his crown on, and they're like they're in a parade. Now stop, Max said, and sent the wild things off to bed without their supper. And Max, the king of all wild things, was lonely and wanted to be where someone loved him best of all. And there's the monsters, and they're sitting down, and they look like they're sleeping. And Max is in a tent, and he is leaning forward, and he looks kind of sad. Then all around from far away across the world, he smelled good things to eat. So he gave up being king of where the wild things are. But the wild things cried, "Oh, please don't go. We'll eat you up. We love you so." And Max said, "No." The wild things roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and rolled their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws. But Max stepped into his private boat and waved goodbye. And sailed back over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day. And there he is in his boat, sailing on the ocean, and the moon is in the sky. And into the night of his very own room, where he found his supper waiting for him. And there he is standing in his room. He's taken the hood of his wolf outfit off, and his dinner is sitting on a table. And it was still hot. The end. Next, we'll read You Matter by Christian Robinson. And before the story starts, it says, "For anyone who isn't sure if they matter, you do." The small stuff, too small to see. And there's a little girl, and she's looking into a microscope at what looks kind of like parts of leaves and plants and maybe animals. Those who swim with the tide and those who don't. And here you see a wave, and there's some fish-like creatures, about 10 of them in part of the wave. And then over to the side, there's one little creature by itself. The first to go and the last. You matter. And here we see some little creatures like lizards coming out of the water. And there are a few plants on the land. And there's a butterfly or dragonfly on one of the plants. When everyone thinks you're a pest, and here there's a part of a big tail, a red tail. And on that tail, it looks like something like a mosquito. When something is just out of reach, oh, and here's what belongs to that tail. It looks like a Tyrannosaurus, a dinosaur, and it has tiny arms, so things are out of reach. When everyone is too busy to help, you matter. And here we see the Tyrannosaurus and on one side, and then there are many dinosaurs on the other page, and they're walking away from the Tyrannosaurus. If you fall down, and now there's a picture of the planet Earth, and it looks like an asteroid is coming toward the Earth. If you have to start all over again, and there's the picture of the Earth, blue with white swirls, and the land is in green. Even if you are really gassy, you matter. And there's a picture of what looks like a big red round planet. Sometimes home is far away. And here, there's a picture of a woman in a spaceship, and she's looking down at what might be the Earth, pointing to the planet, and in her hand, she has a picture of what might be her child. Sometimes someone you love says goodbye. And here's a building, and it has about 8 windows in it. And in one window, there's a bird in a cage. In another one, there's a black cat behind a red curtain. In another one, there's a telescope. In another one, there's a little boy playing with a rocket. And there's another one with a white cat in it. And then another window with a little girl talking on the telephone. And then another window with a plant and another window with a lamp. Sometimes you feel lost and alone, but you matter. And here there's a street with lots of cars and trucks and people crossing the street, lots of people. And there's a dog with a leash, but no one's holding the end of the leash. And they're crossing the street. Old and young. And here's two people sitting on a park bench, older people. One is a man with a cane, and there are birds around them. And then here comes down the path a little girl walking her dog, and there's a little boy in a wheelchair wheeling along the path under the tree. The first to go and the last. And here is a picture of the two people sitting on the park bench, and one is feeding the birds, and there's birds on the ground eating the bird seed, and they're eating, and then one bird is coming all by itself to be with the other birds. The small stuff, too small to see. And here's a little girl, and she's pretending she's flying an airplane, a toy airplane, and she's running. She has a smile on her face. And underground are a bunch of little ants in their home underground. You matter. And here there's a little boy, and he looks like he's in an airplane looking out the windows. And he's looking out onto trees and houses and an ocean with a bridge over it and cars and more buildings. The end. This is a reminder that you are listening to Bedtime Stories on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Let's read Alma and How She Got Her Name by Juana Martinez Neal. Alma Sofia Esperanza Jose Pura Candela had a long name. Too long, if you asked her. And here's Alma, and she's on the floor kneeling, and she's writing on a piece of paper her name. And there's a little bird on top of her head. My name is so long, Daddy, it never fits, Alma said. Come here, he said. Let me tell you the story of your name. Then you decide if it fits. And there's Alma, and she's holding a piece of paper that she tried to write her name on. And she's standing looking at her dad. And there's a little bird on the floor. And her dad's reaching for a book on a shelf. And on that shelf, there's also a book that says Peru on it. And there's a piggy bank that says Peru on the side of it. Sophia was your grandmother, he began. She loved books, poetry, jasmine flowers, and of course me. She was the one who taught me how to read. And there's Alma, and she's sitting on her dad's lap, who's reading from a book. And there's a picture of Sophia's grandmother sitting in a chair, looking out a window, and holding onto a book. I love books and flowers, and you too, Daddy. And there's Alma, and she's imagining herself sitting on a pile of books under a tree looking at some pretty flowers. I am Sophia. Esperanza was your great-grandmother, he continued. She hoped to travel, but never left the city where she was born. Her only son grew up to cross the seven seas. Wherever her sailor son went, so did Esperanza's heart. And there's a picture of Sophia's great-grandmother, Esperanza, sitting in a chair. The world is so big, I want to go see it, Daddy. You and me together. And there's Alma, and she's imagining a map of the world on the wall. And she has a piece of red yarn, and she's taken that yarn and strung it between different points of where she'd like to travel on the world. I am Esperanza. Jose was my father, Alma's daddy said. He was an artist with a big family, like many people had back then. Early each morning, he walked to the mountains and the plazas to paint everyday life. Sometimes I went along. Your grandfather taught me to see and love our people. And there's Alma, and she's picturing herself looking at one of her grandfather's paintings as he's painting because he's an artist. I wake up early every day, and I draw a lot, too. This morning, I drew a little kitty cat for you, Daddy. And there's Alma, and she's drawing different pictures, and the pictures are hung up on a clothesline, a picture of a little girl, of a bird, of a giraffe. I am Jose. Pura was your great aunt. She believed that the spirits of our ancestors are always with us, watching over us. When you were born, she tied a red string around your wrist, a charm to keep you safe. And there's Alma's dad, and he's holding a candle. And there's a picture of Alma's great aunt bending over, lighting lots of candles. Hello, Pura. It's me, Alma. And there's Alma, and she's standing next to her great aunt. Candela was your other grandmother. She always stood up for what was right. And there's her Alma, and she's right on top of her dad's shoulders. And they're walking toward what looks like a protest. And there's Candela holding a baby and walking with children. And there are some people in the line protesting. And one is holding a sign that says, Escucha. And one says, Piensa. And one says, Denuncia. And then there's a picture of Alma. And she's holding a sign that says, I am Candela. I love the story of my name. Now tell me about Alma, Daddy. Where does that come from? I picked the name Alma just for you. You are the first and the only Alma. You will make your own story. And there's Alma, and her dad is squatting down across from her, and he's touching her nose with his finger. Alma, Sophia, Esperanza, Jose, Pura, Candela. That's my name, and it fits me just right. I am Alma, and I have a story to tell. And then you see a picture of Alma, and she's holding a book, and it says, Mi Historia. The end. Now we'll read Fight the Night by Tommy De Paola. It was after supper, and Ronald and his friends were having a good time playing tag with Ronald's cat, Walter. And here you see a picture of Ronald and his friends, and they're playing in a field, and there's the cat, Walter. Then they played hide and seek, and you see the children running to hide, and one is standing against a tree counting, and the cat is up in the tree. Ronald was just about to come in free when Mama called. "Time to go to bed, Ronald. Tell your friends good night." "I don't want to go to bed yet," said Ronald. "We want to play some more." "But it's time for you to be in bed," said Mama. "And besides, tomorrow is another day. Maybe there will be a surprise for you." And there's Ronald, and he's walking up his stairs, and his mom is helping him up the stairs. "Even if I have to go to bed, I won't sleep," said Ronald. "I will stay up all night." And he's putting his pajamas on. "All right," said Mama, "but when night comes, it will make you fall asleep." "The night is not my friend. It always comes at the wrong time." And there he is in bed, and his mom's bending down, giving him a hug. "I will fight the night," said Ronald, and he got his flashlight. He put on his helmet and cape and pulled the covers over his head, waiting for the night to come. It was dark under the covers, so Ronald turned on his flashlight. The bottom of his bed looked very far away. "I will crawl to the bottom of my bed and wait for the night there," he said. When he finally got there, he squeezed way down, and before he knew it, he was on the other side, and it was very dark. So here he climbed down the bottom of his bed, and he's climbing out of bed. He has his flashlight. As Ronald started to walk, he saw two eyes looking at him. He shined his flashlight, and there was Walter. So his cat is there. "What are you doing here, Ronald?" asked the cat. "Where am I?" said Ronald. "You are in the nighttime," answered Walter. "Good," said Ronald. "I'm going to fight the night." "You are silly," said the cat. "You'd better go home. I will not take care of you." And he ran silently and swiftly away. Ronald heard a noise above him, and he followed the beam of his flashlight. There was an old owl. "Why aren't you sleeping?" said the owl. "I'm going to fight the night," said Ronald. "Where is he?" "You'll find out soon enough, and then you'll be sorry," said the owl as he flew off. And Ronald's there shining his flashlight at the owl. Out of the darkness, Ronald heard a voice. "Go to sleep before it's too late." "No, I'm going to fight the night," answered Ronald. "Who are you?" The voice whispered, "I am the night." "Let's fight," said Ronald, and he began to swing his flashlight around. "You will never catch me," said the night. Ronald heard a squeaking noise. "I'll get you, night," said Ronald, and he swung his flashlight. And there's a picture of a fence and a gate that's open, and Ronald's flashing the flashlight toward the gate. "You missed," said the knight. Ronald ran after the voice. Something tripped him. He swung his flashlight. "That's not me. You cannot catch me. I am the knight." And Ronald had tripped over a tree limb on the ground. The voice came from everywhere, all around. Ronald swung his flashlight right and left, but he found nothing. "Aren't you getting tired, Ronald?" said the knight. "No," said Ronald, but he was tired. His arms ached and his legs ached. "I must keep on fighting the night," Ronald said to himself, and he swung his flashlight, following the voice, and fighting the night. At last, a rosy light started to shine at the bottom of the sky, and the night was suddenly gone. Ronald listened hard, but no voice, no night. I won, said Ronald. "I chased the night away." And he turned off his flashlight. He crawled back through the end of his bed and crawled until he got to the top of his covers. It was morning, and there's Ronald, and he's at the top of his bed, and he looks quite tired. Ronald took off his helmet and cape and put away his flashlight. "Ronald, breakfast is ready," called Mama from the kitchen. But Ronald didn't hear her. All he heard was the knight's voice coming from under the covers at the bottom of the bed. "Ha, ha, ha," whispered the knight. "I won, I won." And Ronald's kneeling on his bed, looking under the covers to the end of the bed. And Ronald slept all day. And there's Ronald in bed under the covers, sleeping. The end. That's all we have time for today. We'll read some of Frog and Toad All Year the next time. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona, volunteer broadcaster Cecilia. Thank you for listening. Join us next week for more bedtime stories. Have a great week.